Family of God, welcome here. At Prairie Street Mennonite Church, we are a group of Christians whose work is joyfully following Jesus. This morning is the third of four Sundays of Advent, our season of preparation for the celebration of Jesus' birth. Our theme for today is joy. Kyle Weirich will lead us in song.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 185. And those who are able, please stand.
Call to worship this morning, we'll be reading from what's printed in the bulletin. I'll read the leader part, and we'll all read the people part. Let the heavens rejoice, and the earth be glad. The proud will be scattered, and the humble lifted up. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. The hungry will be filled, and the rich sent away empty. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. He will give his people knowledge of salvation through the remission of sins, and guide our feet into the way of peace. Rejoice before the Lord, For he comes to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with his righteousness and the people with his truth. Let's pray. Loving God, like Mary, our souls magnify your name and our spirits rejoice in God our Savior. We rejoice in your promises and open our hearts in worship. Let the Spirit and the example of Jesus be born anew in our hearts and our lives. Amen.
Blue hymnal number 55, Cantemos al Señor. We'll sing verse 1 in Spanish, then verse 1 in English, then verse 2 in Spanish, verse 2 in English, starting verse 1 in Spanish. Now in the green, Sing the Journey, book number 105. Don't be afraid. Thank you.
As a confession of faith this morning, we'll be reading some selections from the Elbing Catechism, which was used by Mennonites for generations and originated in the West Prussian Mennonite community in the 1700s. So I'll read the questions and you all will read the answers as printed in your bulletin. What is the kingdom of God, or in what does it consist? How do we attain it?
By faith in God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Will a mere oral profession of our faith suffice?
No!
Faith without works is dead. Faith must work by love.
Rejoice. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. Bear fruits worthy of your repentance. Joyfully follow Jesus, sharing the peace of Christ with one another and with the world. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's stand and share the peace of Christ with one another. We're going to call the children forward. Mary Catherine Miller has something for you.
Nice to see you all and to be here with you. I wonder if you have offering money today. Let's pass the basket, get this going around, and you can drop your offering in and bless the basket as it goes by. We are still celebrating a special season of the church. Do you remember what our season is that we're celebrating? Advent. Say it with me. Advent. And it's the third Sunday of Advent. And Advent is a time of waiting, waiting and preparing for Christmas. And our body, which sometimes takes too much time, and our mind and our spirit. And Advent is also a time to think about how the world needs Jesus. First week of Advent, Jeanette talked with us, and she reminded us that God is in control, and there was a special word that she gave you on a piece of paper. Do you remember the first one? I'm going to test you today. Got it. Hope. Hope. Jeanette reminded us that God is in control, and because God is in control, we can have hope, and that God is bigger than anything we fear. Say it with me. God is bigger than anything we fear. So we can have hope. Second week was, the focus was on, do you remember the second week? Oh, you're good. Second week is peace. And the focus was on peace. And again, God is with us and can help us, and we can ask God to guide our feet in the way of peace. Do you remember in the back of that sheet? It said, God, guide our feet in the way of peace. Say it with me. Guide our feet in the way of peace. So now today, third Sunday, our story is about Mary. Can you guess why I like this story? I like her name. But also, I like this story because Mary was brave. And Mary knew and trusted God. And she hoped in God, and she walked in peace, and she expressed joy in her story. So today's story is in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, and in chapter 1. I won't read it from the Bible, but I wanted to let you know where it was found in the Bible. Mary was a young woman, and she lived in a small town of, any of you know, where did Mary live? Anybody remember? That's right, Nazareth. She lived in the small town of village of Nazareth. And she was engaged to a man whose name was, oh, you guys are good, Joseph, yes. And one day there was an angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. And whoa, what a surprise. How would you like to have an angel appear to you? Gabriel greeted Mary and called her favored one and told her that God was with her. I think Mary responded the way I would respond. She was confused and she was afraid. The angel told her not to be afraid and that she had been chosen to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah. Mary asked, "How can this be?" Gabriel told her that God's Spirit would make it possible. He also told her that her cousin Elizabeth, who was an older woman, who thought she was too old to have children, was also pregnant. Gabriel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." Say it with me. Nothing is impossible with God. Gabriel gave Mary big, confusing, and crazy news. I think Mary took a really deep breath. What a lot to take in. She thought about what Gabriel said, hoped in God, asked God to guide her feet in peace, and made a joyful noise. Mary was able to make a joyful noise because she knew God was with her. Do you think everything was going to be easy for Mary? Oh, no. I think there would have been some hard things ahead. But Mary rested in that fact and held on to the promise that God was with her. And because of that, she could make a joyful noise. We can be joyful for the same reason. Not that everything's always happy and easy and good, but we can make a joyful noise because God is always with us and helps us be brave even when things are confusing or hard. Another question. How can we make a joyful noise? How can we make a joyful noise? Can you think about that? Any thoughts? Voices? That's one way. We can make a joyful noise with our voice. We can make a joyful noise with our body, with our hands. And sometimes we have to choose, because sometimes instead of saying, oh, using my hand to want to push somebody away, I have to stop and think that's not a very joyful noise, and to put my hand down and maybe give a smile instead. Another way, last night I was making supper and I looked out of the window and I thought, oh my word, that is a joyful noise. Did anybody see something beautiful in the sky last night? The sunset was gorgeous. I think creation also makes a beautiful noise. And last night the sky just shouted of joy of God's grace and love. It was beautiful. So I hope this week we can think about how we can make a joyful noise and how we treat people, and things we think about, and the way we, things we say. There's some beautiful music on the radios these days on Christmas music that helps me make a joyful noise. Let's take a moment to pray together. God, in the midst of this Advent season, and thinking specifically about joy at this moment, help us be joyful. Help us know deeply your love and your presence with us, so that we can draw on your presence and love to be kind and joyful to those around us. And help us to find and see moments of joy around us, of your beauty. And thank you for these beautiful people that we can share this day with. Amen. So here we go. Make a joyful noise. There you go. Thank you very much. Here you go.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted.
Nuestra escritura es de Isaías 12, 2 al 6. Vean a Dios, mi Salvador. Puedo estar confiado y sin temor alguno, porque el Señor es mi fortaleza y mi canción. Él es mi Salvador. Y con gran gozo sacarán ustedes agua de las fuentes de la salvación. Cuando llegue ese día, dirán ustedes, alaban al Señor, aclaman su nombre, alaban sus acciones entre los pueblos, recuerdan que su nombre es incomparable.
Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Canten salmos al Señor, porque sus obras son magníficas. Que toda la tierra lo sepa. Tú que habitas en Sion, canta y regocíjate, que en medio de ti grande es el Santo de Israel.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Our preacher this morning is Ben Olenberger, who's been a member of this congregation for 30.7 years and is retiring soon as a professor at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary. Pray with me for Ben. Lord, may the words of Ben's mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
We are, as you know, deep into the season of Advent. Christmas is a little more than a week away. A week from today, Janice and I will drive to Maryland to celebrate Christmas with our daughters and son-in-law. Our anticipation is keen. We are excited. Plans have been made and gifts wrapped, some of them. The Christmas season evokes memories of Christmases past. It evokes memories of my youth, the excitement of decorating a tree, of seeing brightly wrapped presents accumulating around the tree, practicing for the Christmas Eve program, and the aroma of peppernuts baking in the kitchen. In families like ours, peppernuts were and they remain a traditional Christmas treat. They're called peppernuts, but contain neither pepper nor nuts. I don't know. But I do know that they must contain exactly the right amount of anise and be of exactly the right size and baked to the right combination of crispness and softness, because that's how my grandmother and my mother made them, and that's how they must be. I'm willing to compromise on many things, at least to talk about them. But don't even get me started on peppernuts. For us back in Oklahoma, peppernuts were the taste and the scent of Christmas. Back then in that place, I knew nothing of Advent, never heard of it. Once Thanksgiving was passed and November gave way to December, planning for Christmas began and Christmas carols were sung. From Thanksgiving to Christmas, it was all joy. But now that I'm among more sophisticated folks in Indiana, people who know about Advent, I've learned that Advent is the season of anticipation, expectation, and also joy. So it's fitting that the theme of our service this morning is joy. It's announced right here in front. And it's the theme of the verses from Isaiah that were read for us just a moment ago. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O citizens of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel is, of course, the Lord God, our God, the only God, the Lord who has done gloriously. And Zion's people, its citizens, are to shout and sing for joy because the Holy One of Israel, the Lord God, is great in the midst of Zion. Zion? If we're familiar with the Bible, we may have read about Zion. If we're familiar with English hymns, we will have sung about marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, the beautiful city of God. In these verses from Isaiah, Zion is another name for Jerusalem. And the citizens of Jerusalem, of Zion, will have reason to shout aloud and sing for joy. Because in the chapter just before, in Isaiah chapter 11, God promises to gather the people, the scattered people of Israel, from all the places they have been forced to migrate. God promises to bring them home. Even more, God has announced the coming of a new ruler, a new kind of ruler. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with justice he shall judge the poor and decide fairly for the oppressed. Well, hallelujah, won't that be something? And no wonder the citizens of Zion should rejoice. What a joyous scripture for Advent, one that announces so well the ruler, the Lord, whose birth we are about to celebrate. Joy to the world. But then there's the lectionary. It's another word I never heard in Oklahoma. But I've learned that a lectionary is a list of scripture readings for the church year. I also didn't know there was a church year. In Oklahoma, we observe Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, and the beginning of football season. But I've learned that the early church composed lists of scripture readings for seasons like Pentecost, Lent, and Advent. And it turns out that not all of the scripture passages for Advent seem immediately to be about joy. One of the passages for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. In this chapter, John the Baptizer is at the Jordan River, calling people to repentance and baptizing them, and he attracts quite a crowd. And here's what he says: "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news. to the people. Is this the word of the Lord? Es esta la palabra del Señor? Do these words of John the Baptizer have anything to do with joy? They sound violent. First of all, John addresses the crowd as a brood of vipers, as poisonous snakes. That's not how we're taught to welcome people. John speaks of the wrath to come and of the axe ready to cut down trees and burning those that don't bear fruit, by which he means some of the people he's talking to. And he talks about a winnowing fork, a big fork that's used to toss wheat or barley into the air so that the grain falls to the floor and the chaff blows away. And John says the chaff will be burned. Well, that's not exactly what John says. He says that the coming Messiah, the Christ, has the winnowing fork in his hand. And he will burn the chaff with fire. This is the gospel. This is good news. That depends. In his sermon, John the Baptizer addresses three specific groups: the wealthy, the tax collectors, and the soldiers. To the wealthy, he says, since you have two coats, give one to the poor. To the tax collectors, he says, don't use your office to enrich yourselves unjustly. To the soldiers, he says, don't force people to pay protection money and don't abuse your authority. To the wealthy speculators, to the exploitive tax collectors, and to the extortionist soldiers, that was bad news. But to the poor, and the vulnerable, and the exploited, it was gospel. Great news. And I imagine that some folks listening to John from the margins pumped their fists and uttered a stifled yes when John addressed the brood of vipers, the wealthy, the tax collectors, and the soldiers. After all, the tax collectors and soldiers were agents of Rome and of Rome's oppressive occupation of Palestine. Would not the Palestinians now living under oppressive occupation cheer if they heard the voice of God directing their oppressors to act justly? Wouldn't this be good news? Would not the Hispanic and African American citizens of Elkhart cheer as good news hearing the Lord God hold to account the police and administrators of Elkhart, along with its churches and its Mennonites? We look forward to Christmas with joy, of course. We set out nativity scenes, appropriately. I think we have four of them in our house from different countries. We light candles during Advent, this season of waiting and hoping. And even now, how many times have we sung or heard "Joy to the World"? We should sing it, of course. But notice the hymn's first words. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Or recall the words we sang a few moments ago. Hail to the Lord's anointed. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free. This is good news for the oppressed and the captives, but to their oppressors and those holding people captive, it comes as judgment, not joy. By the way, the writer of those words, Hail to the Lord's Anointed, James Montgomery, was a radical and a fierce opponent of slavery in England. He was also a devout Christian. John the Baptizer knew that the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One of God, was coming, and the coming of God's Anointed means both joy and judgment. We have sung, or we will sing, or we will hear Away in a Manger, perhaps many times between now and the end of Christmas. It's a song beloved by children, and there's no reason not to sing it. But the point here is that the Advent, the coming of Jesus Christ, was not just the miraculous, joyous birth of a sweet baby. It was, Jesus was, God's invasion of the world in conquest. In conquest of sin, oppression, slavery, and death. Sin is a power that invaded the good world of God's creation, and the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, the life, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ were and are God's assault against the power of sin, which would hold people captive. This is militant language, even military language, and it's the language of the New Testament, of the gospel. As a boy in O'Keene, Oklahoma, two of my favorite hymns were Onward Christian Soldiers Marching as to War and Stand Up for Jesus, Ye Soldiers of the Cross. Neither hymn is favored or even tolerated among contemporary Mennonites, but I continue to appreciate them both, though not for the quality of their music. Both of them draw inspiration from the Gospels and from the letters of Paul. Put on the whole armor of God. We are not called to wage war with guns or spears or to arm ourselves with leather shields or helmets of iron or in any way to rely on ourselves. As the hymn says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. As confessing Christians, we are already enlisted and called to battle, armed with the gospel, trusting not ourselves, but the Lord Christ. The hymns and the New Testament gospels and the Apostle Paul employ the language of battle, of warfare, not lightly or incidentally, but in recognition of an actual battle. Put on the whole armor of God, Paul says in Ephesians 6, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Proclaim the gospel of peace. I said a moment ago that the advent of Jesus Christ was God's assault on the powers of sin, oppression, slavery, and death. It is a battle whose decisive victory has already been won. The announcement of that victory is the gospel of peace, and it is the ultimate source of our hope and our joy. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O citizens of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
We'll sing from the Sing the Journey green hymnal number 65, Let Justice Flow Like Streams. And those who are able, please stand.
Now is the time for ushers to come forward. Thank you.
And please turn in the Sing the Story purple book to number 2, and we will sing verses 5 and 6 today. 5 and 6. Sing the Journey, number 71. Alleluia, the great storm is over. And those who are able, please stand.
Thank you. Ooh, we could sing that all day, huh? Want to let you know, especially if you're new or visiting, there is coffee just down the stairs in Fellowship Hall. And around 11:15, there are options for education and art and music for different ages. Anybody high school or under, you can come with me to the basement-y, the most basement, lowest place. And we're going to be painting today. There's also a chance to sing choruses from the Messiah here in the sanctuary. There's a sermon response class that we'll meet with Ellen Morey in Fellowship Hall. Now receive the benediction. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go out into the world with praise. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, God's faithfulness to all generations. Amen.